Chapter 10. Into the belly of the beast. Sacrifice. My future is written. The scream of chain axes brought Antigis to his senses. The whine of their spinning teeth turned to a crunching drone as they bit into flesh and bone. Antigis saw white armour trimmed with blue, sprayed liberally with crimson, and the legion markings of a captain. Skrall dragged the ultramarine out of the mess of bodies. The Furies' crewmen were being bludgeoned to the ground or thrown through the air, the world-eater's squad painting every surface with crescents of gore. Antigis took a moment to set himself, such was the impact of the second charge from Skrall's world-eaters. The captain of the 12th Legion was butchering a man on the floor. Such reckless, murderous enthusiasm was alien to the ultramarines, and Antigis fought the urge to put a stop to it. The battlefield was no place for recrimination. Instead, the ultramarine looked across the dock, a brief lull in the fighting provided by the sudden appearance of Skrall's forces, allowing him to take stock. A clutter of crimson-armoured corpses lay at the end of the central channel, victims of the world-eater's ferocity. He also saw Bryngar, leading his blood claws, tangled up in a short-range firestorm with a squad of word-bearers emerging from the ruin of the collapsed observation platform. The fighting was fierce, and it didn't look like the Sons of Russ would be able to bolster them. Skrall heaved a dying man off the floor and cut him in two at the waist with a slash of his chain axe. It got Antigis's attention. "Captain!" called the ultramarine, seeing a break in the cohort's ranks for the first time. "Drive on to the ship! Now!" Skrall looked back at him. For a split second there was nothing in the world-eater's face but hatred, nothing to suggest that he saw Antigis as anything but another enemy. The moment passed, and the eyes that looked at the ultramarine belonged to Skrall again. The world-eater picked up his shield from the ground, discarded in his lust for carnage, shook his head to get the worst of the blood out of his eyes, and called to his squad to follow.
"Form up on me, and keep moving!"
shouted Antigis, pointing towards the furious abyss with his chainsword. A word-bearer stumbled out of the wreckage of the platform, strafing wildly with his bolter. Bryngar stepped out of the kill zone and beheaded the Astartes with a sweep of Felltooth. A second followed, and the Space Wolf leapt forward, burying the blade in the legionary's cranium. A third was dragged from the collapsed building, half-dazed, by Rougeveld, who executed him with a burst from his bolt pistol. After the initial slaughter, though, the word-bearers managed to put up more of a fight. Wreathed in superheated plasma, Elfjarl fell screaming, and Vorik was dismembered by a fusillade of bolter fire. Bryngar snarled at the losses, whipping another word-bearer off his feet at the edge of the ruins before lunging down to tear out his throat with his teeth. Howling in fury, the Wolfguard was about to press on when whickering bolter fire churned up the ferrocrete debris around him. Reeling against the sudden assault, the venerable wolf could only watch as a line of blood stitched up Svorvel's cuirass. He spun and fell in a lifeless heap. A second squad of word-bearers advanced on them, unseen from the original route of attack. Bryngar unhitched his bolter in the face of this new threat and blew the faceplate off one word-bearer's helmet and smashed a chunk from the shoulder pad of another as they came on.
"Into them!"
he raged, weapon blazing as he charged the enemy. The howling reply of his remaining blood claws was a feral chorus to the brutal bolter din. Antigis thrust his chainsword through the word-bearer's chest. As they'd closed on the furious abyss, the cohorts, a bloody mess in their wake, another line of defenders had emerged. Fellow Astartes, their erstwhile brothers, the word-bearers. Decked in crimson armour, replete with debased scratchings and ragged scrolls of parchment, they were a dark shadow of the proud warriors Antigis remembered. The word-bearer jerked as he tried to wrench himself free of the churning blade that impaled him, but then it passed through his spine, and all he could do was vomit a plume of blood. Suddenly, it was real. These word-bearers, Astartes and brothers to all space marines, were the enemy. Antigis realized in that moment that he hadn't really believed it before. There was no time to consider it further, as a second word-bearer came at him with a power maul. Antigis caught the weapon just before it cleaved through his face and rammed his knee into the Astartes' stomach. But his enemy stayed locked with him. Behind the lenses of the word-bearer's helmet, the ultramarine could just see an eye narrowed in anger. There was no brotherhood there. In a sudden fury of churning steel and wrath, Skrall tore the word-bearer off Antigis and ripped him apart with his chain-axe. Finishing the grisly work quickly, the world-eater glanced back at his battle-brother.
"Too intense for you, Ultramarine!"
A word-bearer's elbow caught Bryngar in the side of the head, and the space-wolf fell back. Rolling out of a second attack, he switched to his bolter and, one-handed, unloaded the magazine into his assailant's stomach. The word-bearer had life in him yet, though, and Rujveld stalked forward, drawing a knife from a scabbard at his waist. He jammed the point through the gap in the wounded traitor's gorget. Bryngar grunted thanks to the Bloodclaw and moved on into the word-bearer squad that had set upon them. Combined with the survivors from the platform's destruction, the space wolves were hard-pressed. The wolf guard was determined to lead by example, however, and scythed through Crimson Ceramite, the bloody Felltooth clutched in his grasp. Cutting down an enemy Astartes with a swift diagonal slice across the neck and chest, Bryngar kicked the word-bearer aside to face a new opponent. Suddenly the tempo of the battle changed. The fury and ferocity exploding around him dulled and slowed as he stood eye to eye with a fellow captain. This was clearly their leader, clearly a veteran if the ruin and subsequent reconstruction of his face was any measure. A two-handed power sword swung freely in his fists, which he wielded like a mace. A trio of blood claws lay at the warrior's feet. They had died on that sword, their bodies split in two and spilling organs over the floor of the dock.
"Now face me,"
snarled the wolf guard, and hefted Felltooth in a feral challenge. The word-bearer captain drove at the space wolf, using his body like a battering ram, the blade as its tip. The charge was fast, so fast that Bryngar didn't get out of the way in time and took a glancing blow against his pauldron. White fire surged into his shoulder, but the wolf-guard mastered the pain quickly and turned with the attack, using its momentum and raking Felltooth down his opponent's back. The word-bearer roared and spun on his heel, driving the two-handed blade at him like a spear at first to pitch the space wolf off balance and then as a club to bludgeon him to death. A wild swipe slapped the flat edge of the weapon against Bryngar's outstretched arm. His bolter fell from nerveless fingers as the blow struck a muscle cluster, numbed even through his power armor. Bryngar smashed the brutal sword aside as it came for another slash and used his forward momentum to get inside his attacker's reach. Pressing a rune on Felltooth's hilt, a long spike slid from the tip of the axe. Bryngar roared in savage exultation as he plunged it deep into one of the word-bearer's biceps and twisted. The word-bearer's arm was torn open, revealing wet muscle and gore. No pain registered on his face as he leapt towards Bryngar in an attempt to throw him off balance and bring his sword to bear again. Using his opponent's momentum, Bryngar lifted the word-bearer off his feet and smashed him to the ground. He yanked the dazed enemy captain up again, gripping his gorget, and seized his head by the chin. Emitting a terrible roar that flung blood and spittle into his enemy's face, Bryngar rammed the spike of Felltooth through his throat. The word-bearer's good eye bulged out as it fought the racking pain of his imminent death. He coughed up blood, and it sheeted down the front of his armour, covering it with a new wet shade of crimson. Bryngar spat in his face and let the word-bearer fall. Bolter shells blistered the ground around him as yet more word-bearers converged on them. Bryngar and what was left of his blood claws returned fire and sought cover even as they fell back. The attack was short-lived, the Astartes merely dragging away the body of their fallen captain before retreating too. Indiscriminate and sporadic gunfire kept the space wolves at bay as the remaining word-bearers fell back. Crouching behind the ruin of a disused fuel tanker, Bryngar snatched a glance across the battlefield. Skrall and Antigis were advancing towards the furious abyss with a small combat squad of world-eaters, scattering crewmen from the battleship as they went. Bryngar envied them. Even before the plasma drives of the word-bearer's mighty battleship started to power up, he knew that the enemy was leaving. The pinning fire from their retreating assailants was gradually diminishing, and all across the dockyard, enemy Astartes were heading back to embarkation ports in the hull of the vast vessel.
"Like the Orca, I would have gutted that beast inside out," he thought with dark regret, and cried out his lament.
Blood flecked from his beard and hair as he threw back his head, and the long, hollow note tore from his throat. Taking up the call, his blood claws arched their necks back as one and joined the chorus howl. Gunfire spattered down at the Astartes, ricocheting off metal and kicking out sparks. Together with the Ultramarine, Antigues, and three of his battle brothers, the World-Eater captain had gained the Furious Abyss, entering into the belly of the ship through one of the embarkation ports and heading down. Their progress had been arrested inevitably when the onboard patrols had caught up with them at the intersection of a coolant pipe. The fire was coming from one end of the corridor, distant, shadowy figures tramping urgently down the wide, curved diameter of the pipe. Metal instrumentation provided some cover, but the Astartes were as good as dead if they didn't move on quickly. Skrull took part of the fusillade on his storm shield, casings striking the grating at his feet like brass rain, bolter fire. Shadows danced against the muzzle flashes, huge armoured bodies, helmets and shoulder pads. Astartes. Word-bearers. One of Skrull's warriors, Orlak, cut through a hatch in the ceiling with his chain axe. The slab of metal clanged down and he hauled himself up swiftly. Rorgarth stood point as the legionaries made their way further inwards. Having lost both his weapons in the brutal melee outside the ship, he slammed the bolter he had scavenged into rapid fire and hosed the conduit, punching ragged holes into the metal. The other world-eaters lent the fire of their bolt pistols, keeping their enemies at bay. Half the world-eaters were through the hatch before the word-bearers returned fire. Only Skrull and Antigues remained, the Ultramarine taking over from Rorgarth as he unclipped a brace of frag grenades from his belt and rolled them down the conduit. Skrull leapt up the hatch as return bolter fire blazed past him. Antigues followed, the world-eater captain hauling the Ultramarine up as the first of the explosions ripped down the conduit, shredding plating and buying time.
"Mountains of McCrag!" breathed Antigues. The engine room of the Furious Abyss was like a cathedral to machinery. It was vast. The crisscrossing ribs of a vaulted ceiling reached through the gloom. The immense hulks of the cylindrical exhaust chambers were decorated with steel ribbing and iron scrollwork and inscribed with high Gothic text running along their whole length. Multiple levels were delineated by gantries and lattice-like overhead walkways. Word-bearers' banners hung from the web of iron above them, bearing the symbols of the Legion's chapters. A quill with a drop of blood at its nib, an open hand with an eye in the palm, a burning book, and a scepter crowned with a skull. The metallic throb of the engines was like the ship's own monstrous heartbeat. The conduit in the labyrinthine ship had led the Astartes to this place, and though the sounds of pursuit were distant and hollow, the enemy would not be far behind.
"Find something to destroy," said Skrull. "Get to the reactors if you can."
Antigues tried to take in the vastness of the engine room. Even with the munitions they had at their disposal and the fact that they were Astartes, they would still have a hard time doing anything that could cripple the Furious Abyss.
"No," said Antigues. "We drive onwards. Look for ordnance or cogitators. We can't sabotage this vessel attacking blindly."
Skrull looked back at his squad. The last of them was being dragged up through the hatch. The coolant pipe they had entered through was one of many forming a tangle of pipes and junctions around the exhaust chambers. Between the pipes was darkness, and there was no telling how far down it went.
"We might not find her!"
"We're not getting back out,"
snapped Antigues. Skrull nodded.
"Forwards, then."
Antigues led the Astartes up onto the nearest walkway above the exhaust chambers. The immense shapes of generatoria loomed towards the ship's stern, connected to the even larger plasma reactors somewhere below. Ahead of them, the walkway wound into a dark steel valley between enormous pounding pistons. Shapes were gathering on a walkway above them, hidden by the solid metal of a control deck. It seemed that the engineering menials had been ordered out of the chamber, which meant that the word-bearers planned to stop them here.
"Cover!"
shouted Skrull. But there was little to be had when the bolter fire from the word-bearers hammered down at them. Rorgarth returned fire with his scavenged bolter, but there was little the others could do with pistols and close combat weapons. One of Skrull's battle brothers was hit square in the chest and knocked over a guardrail. He fell onto the engine block below and was pounded flat by a piston hammering down on him. Orlak's arm disappeared in a spray of blood, and he fell to the walkway. Antigues hoisted him bodily to his feet and dragged him along as more gunfire streaked from above.
"Break for it!"
Skrull bellowed, seeing a lull in the fusillade hammering them. Then he was on his feet, and running for the cover at the end of the engine block, where the walkway led up into a great wall of galleries and machinery. Even hurried by Antigues, Orlac lingered behind and was speared through the back by storm bolter rounds. Smoke poured from the backpack of his armour, mixed with a spray of blood. Orlac. Skral had led him through a dozen battlefields. He was a brother, as they all were. The world-eater captain took that grief and locked it away beneath his consciousness, where it mixed with a pool of rage that he would call on again when the time was right. Skral reached cover. The furious abyss closed around him. He was in an equipment room, the walls covered in racks of hydraulic drills, wrenches and hammers. Human deck crews fled in wild panic as the world-eaters burst in, followed by Antigues. There were just three left. It was hardly the raiding force they needed to bring the vast ship to heel. Skral noticed something inscribed on the ceiling of the chamber. Build the word of Lorgar from this steel. Live as it is written.
Move! Move! They're heading down after us!
Bellowed Antigues, demanding his attention.
We need to hold them up! No way we can dodge bolter fire and wreck the ship at the same time! Said Skral,
slamming the portal shut behind them and using a stolen wrench to wedge it.
Three squads at least, Antigues replied, his breathing heavy but measured. No way! We can beat them! I'll slow them, said Rorgarth, planting his feet and checking the clip in his bolter.
Antigues regarded the world-eater. The white and blue of his armour was already scored by bullet wounds and scorched by plasma burns.
Your sacrifice will be remembered, said Antigues reverently.
No such sentiment was evident from the world-eater's captain, who tossed Rorgarth his bolt pistol.
Give them no quarter!
He snarled, turning abruptly to lead what was left of the raiding party through the tangle of anterooms and corridors. The shouts of pursuers, relaying their position, followed them like hollow ghost whispers, and the thud of armoured feet on the floor was dull and resonant in their wake. Together, Antigues and Skral moved swiftly across the hinterlands of the engine room and through a doorway in the bulkhead. Not long before they'd left the chamber, the fierce bark of bolter fire erupted behind them. It didn't last long, and deathly silence reigned for a moment before their relentless pursuers could be heard once more. Mangled with a cacophony of voices emitted from the ship's vox array, it became obvious that a widespread search had begun. The Furious's warriors were converging on the Astartes. They were getting closer every second. Passing through an empty storage chamber, Skral kicked open a door to reveal another corridor. The atmosphere was close and hot, the walls lined with burning torches. The sight was incongruous amongst the decks and trappings of a spaceship, but it also led downwards and prowards in the direction where the Astartes guessed the primary ordnance deck would be.
What did they build in here?
Hissed Antigues, giving voice to his thoughts as they moved down the corridor. The Ultramarine got his answer as he emerged from the far end of the tunnel. A vast plaza stretched out in front of them. Walls lined with baroque statues of deep red steel rose up into a domed ceiling. The vault at the apex of the massive chamber was hazy with incense and supported by dramatic false columns. Prayers were inscribed on the flagstone floor. An altar and pulpit stood at the far end of a central aisle. There was only one word to describe it. A cathedral. In the supposed Age of Enlightenment, when all superstition and religion was to be expunged from the galaxy to be replaced by science and understanding, all that the Emperor had decreed was dishonoured by the chamber's very existence. Antigues found that it left a bitter taste in his mouth and was ready to tear down the effigies and rend this temple of false idolatry to the ground with his bare hands when a voice echoed out of the surrounding gloom.
There is no escape!
The Ultramarine saw Skral throw himself against a pillar. Antigues swiftly adopted a crouching position, bolt pistol outstretched in a two-handed grip, scanning the darkness. He could just make out the crimson armour at the far end of the cathedral. The speaker, his tone eerily calm and cultured, was sheltering behind the altar. The word-bearer was not alone. Booted feet, clacking against the stone floor behind the Astartes, confirmed the threat. Antigues and the World-Eater were covered from both sides of the chamber.
"I am Sergeant Commander Reskiel of the Word-Bearers," said the speaker, identifying himself.
"Throw down your arms and surrender at once," he warned, all the culture evaporating. "After you fired on us and slew our brothers," Skral raged.
"This need not end in further bloodshed," Reskiel added. Antigues felt the enemy converging on them, heard the faint scrape of ceramite against stone as they closed.
"What is this place, word-bearer?" asked the ultramarine, panning his sights first across the pulpit and then further out until he had swept the gloom around them. "Such religiosity is not condoned by the Emperor. You openly defy his will. Have you reverted to primitive debasement and superstition?" he asked, trying to goad them, trying to find time to devise a plan, expose a weakness. "Is all Colchis like this now?"
"There is nothing primitive about the vision of our Primarch or his home world," said Reskiel levelly, clearly wise to the ultramarine stratagem. Stepping out from behind the altar, the sergeant commander allowed the diffuse torchlight to bathe him in its glow. He was young, but highly decorated, judging by the honor studs and medals on his crimson armor. The trappings of heroism and glory, warred with strips of parchment and leaves of tattered vellum, scripted in wretched verse. A squad of word-bearers emerged into the cathedral behind him, their bolters trained on the shadows where Antigues and Skral were in cover.
"Show yourselves and let us speak brother to brother," said Reskiel, allowing his guardians to move in front of him. "You are no brother of mine!" shouted Skral.
"Get ready!"
Antigues hissed to his ally as Reskiel raised a hand. The ultramarine knew, with an ingrained warrior instinct, that he was about to give the order to open fire. He trained his bolt pistol on a cluster of word-bearers at the front of the advancing guards. Skral roared, surging out of cover and throwing his chain axe. He thumbed the activation stud as it left his hand, and the weapon shrieked through the air. With a scream of ceramite on metal, the axe bypassed the guards and sliced clean through Reskiel's wrist, embedding itself in the altar. Shield upraised, a war cry on his lips, the world-eater charged. Antigues cursed the son of Angron's impetuous battle-lust and triggered the bolt-pistol, running forward as the muzzle flare gave way his position. Bolt-rounds hammered into the approaching word-bearers, and three of the warriors collapsed in a heap against the fury. Bedlam filled the cathedral. Skral covered the distance between him and his enemy so fast that none of the opening bolter-shots hit him. Antigues followed, acutely aware that he had foes behind as well as in front. An errant shot clipped his pauldron, another chipped his knee guard, and he staggered briefly, but kept on into the maelstrom, the name of Gilliman in his furious heart.
"This is sacred ground!" wailed Reskiel, clutching the stump of his arm as blood spurted freely from it.
Skral battered the word-bearers in his path aside, and when he reached the sergeant-commander, backhanded him across the face with his shield by way of reply, and wrenched his chain-axe from the altar. He spun and slammed the head of the axe into the head of a red-armoured warrior charging behind him. The word-bearer was thrown off his feet and skidded along the floor on his back, his face a red ruin of bone and shattered ceramite. The ambushers from behind the two Astartes fell into the fray. Skral fought as if possessed by the spirit of Angron, slaying left and right as a terrible bloody rage overtook him. He embraced the cauldron of fury within and used it to kill, to ignore pain. Word-bearers fell horribly before his onslaught, so fierce that those surrounding the assault gave ground and retreated to the cathedral door. The one who called himself Reskiel was dragged out by one of his battle-brothers, the blood clotting on the stump of his wrist as he screamed his collar. Bolter fire was hammering away towards the rear of the cathedral. Antigues could hear it echoing loudly inside his helmet as Skral turned from the carnage he was wreaking to look at him. A line of pain sketched its way down the ultramarine's back, and he realized he'd been hit. This time the shot pierced his armor. Something warm welled in his chest, and Antigues looked down to see a wet, ragged hole. As his mind suddenly made the connection to what his body already knew, he slumped against a pillar, spitting blood. Lungs heaving, he tried to force his augmented body back into action and cranked another magazine into his bolt pistol. One hand clamped over the wound, the other triggering the bolter, Antigues resolved to go down fighting. In the distance, vision fogging, a shadow fell. White spikes of pain were flashing before his eyes as he turned to look back at Skral amidst the bloodbath at the altar.
"Go!"
gasped Antigues. The world-eater paused for a second, about to run back in and rescue the ultramarine. A thrown grenade exploded near the pillar, and Antigues' world ended in a billow of smoke and shrapnel. Skral didn't wait to see if the ultramarine had survived. One way or another, Antigues was lost. Instead, he ran from the cathedral, storm shield warding off the worst of the bolt of fire hammering across the cathedral towards him. As he fled into the endless darkness, the shifting of the vessel's hull echoing as if venting its displeasure, a thought forced its way into his mind in spite of the battle rage. He was alone. Zadkiel watched the battle unfolding through the docking pictors mounted along the hull of the Furious Abyss. Belanus had fallen, yet his inert body had been recovered and lay in the laboratorium of Magos Guriod. He would serve the word yet. Belanus's dedication to the word was that of a soldier to his commander, and he had never appreciated the more intellectual implications of Lorgar's beliefs. Nevertheless, he was a loyal and useful asset. Zadkiel would not throw him away cheaply. Ultis was doubtless buried beneath the rubble of Baca Triumvirum 14. In that, Belanus had served Zadkiel too. It was another thorn removed from his side, the potential usurper dispatched. Yet for that deed, you will receive eternal service to the Legion. "We're breached!" Sergeant Commander Reskiel's voice came through on the vox, down where the engines met the main body of the battleship. "How many?" "Only one remains, my lord," Reskiel replied. "They made it in through the coolant venting ports open for the resupplying." "Hunt him down with my blessing, Sergeant Commander," Zadkiel ordered. "But be aware that you will be making your pursuit under takeoff conditions." "Another thorn," thought Zadkiel. "Sire, there are still warriors of the Legion fighting on the dock," countered Reskiel at the news of their imminent departure. "We cannot tarry. Every moment we stay to fight is another moment for the Wrathful to reach strike range, or for our stowaway to damage something that cannot be replaced, not to mention the fact that the dockyard's defences might be brought to bear. Sacrifice, Reskiel, is a lesson worth learning. Now, find the interloper and end this annoyance." "At your command, Admiral. I'm heading into the coolant systems now." Zadkiel cut the vox and observed the viewscreens above his command throne. A tactical map showed the Furious Abyss and the complex structure of the orbital docks around it. Crimson icons represented the word-bearer forces still fighting and dying for their cause. Zadkiel reached back for the vox and gave the order to take off. Altis watched from the rubble of the collapsed observation platform as the Furious Abyss began to rise. The engines of the battleship threw burning winds across the dockyards. Docking clamps and supply hangars melted to slag. Gantries burned and fuel tankers exploded, blossoms of blue-white thrown up amidst the firestorm. Fiery gales whipped around the open metal plaza, cooking cohorts and Astartes alike in the burgeoning conflagration surging across Baca Triumvirum 14. Scalding winds singed his face, even shielded by the wrecked chunks of ferrocrete. He saw the crimson paint on his armour blistering in the backwash of intense heat. The maelstrom engulfed the bodies fighting outside it, and they became as shadows and ash before it, as if frozen in time, eternally at war. This was not the future he had envisaged for himself as he watched the Furious Abyss rise higher from the deck with a blast from its ventral thrusters. He had been betrayed, not by the word, but by another onboard ship. A shadow eclipsed the stricken word-bearer, prone in the rubble.
"Your friends desert you, traitor whelp," said a voice from above, old and gnarled.
Altis craned his neck around to see, vision hazing in and out of focus, dimly aware of the blood that he had lost. A massive Astartes in the armour of Leman Russ's legion reared over him like a slab of unyielding steel. Bedecked in trophies, pelts and tooth fetishes, he was every inch the savage that Altis believed the Space Wolves to be.
"I serve the word," he said defiantly through blood-caked lips.
The Space Wolf shook the blood out of his straggly hair and grinned to display his fangs.
"The word be damned," he snarled.
The Space Wolf's gauntleted fist was the last thing Altis saw before all sense fled, and his world went black.